This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasuli Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج. So inshallah, in this class today I'm going to teach you the importance of sighting the crescent, the moon, to determine the beginning of month of Ramadan, and also how important it is for other month of Islamic ibadah. So this one we have to discuss that what is the opinions of the jurist, fuqaha, aimma, Imam Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad al-Hanbal, and other people about sighting the moon, how they used to determine what the moon sighting means. Then we are also going to discuss can we rely in the moon sighting, on the scientific evidence, on the astronomy? Can we rely on that? How can we benefit from that, and how much we can benefit? Similarly, we have to also learn, really, is moon sighting really a religious matter, or it is a secular matter? It is really something, for a part of the religion, or it is something secular? And also I'm going to discuss that how important is the unity among the believers. What is the difference between those ibadah which are personal, for every individual, and those ibadah which are collective? They should be done collectively. What difference is, and how we approach to both of them? So that, inshallah, I'll make effort to I explain to you. So the first thing, alhamdulillah, is that we people are coming nearer to the month of Ramadan. Nearly 10 days when we're going to start this month of the barakah and the blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that Allah has made fasting obligatory for a purpose. And that is, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that in Islam, actually, everything has got a hikmah. Wisdom, the reason behind everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as his commander, he's also hakim, wise. He never commands his slaves something which is going to harm them or it is going to be difficult for them. No, always he commands things which are beneficial for them and going to be easier for them. That actually his way always have been. In every single thing of his commands, we find wisdom. So he has no interest to make us people to remain hungry for so many hours. The reason he made fasting obligatory is to benefit us, to the certain benefits that we get from the fasting, and that why he had made the fasting obligatory. And the important thing that he mentions is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So the fasting is not that to make people hungry, and because when they're hungry, then they break their desire and this and that. Like many people have been saying, like Imam Ghazali Rahmullah, he said that, fasting is to, train people to become hungry. So when you are more hungry, you are better into achieve the goal of the fasting. So he had made the fasting, three types of fasting. Fasting of the awam people, common people, lay people, and the fasting of the khawas, special people, and the fasting of akhassul khawas. And akhassul khawas are the people who only eat in the morning. They don't, eat in the sunset time. Maybe they just drink water, but they don't eat. So, the reason is because his thinking is, the fasting is, that when people are hungry, they become nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though, hunger is important, and eating less is always important in the Sharia, but this is not the purpose, because you can see there are hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, لَا تَزَالُ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرٍ. My people will be on the good path as long as they delay the suhoor and they do the breaking the fast as quickly as possible. So if it is the purpose has, would have been to make people hungry, then he should have said that my people will be good if they delay the breaking the fast and they make the suhoor early. But no, he didn't say that. He is saying that, you know, as ma'ajjalu al-fitra, if they make the breaking fast, you know, as quickly as possible. So that is very important to understand, really, that the fasting is not to make you to suffer from hunger. You know, in Muslim countries all over the world, in the month of Ramadan, Muslims always eat more and they eat a better quality, always, since that time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If the purpose had been to keep people hungry, then Muslims would actually eat less in Ramadan. But nobody eat less, actually, always. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he used to make arrangement for iftar and for suhoor, invite the people. And actually, there are hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not so strong, that before Ramadan, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would give a speech, and in which he said, Shaharun yuzadu fihi rizqul mu'min. Month of Ramadan is the month in which the provision of the believer is increased. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our provision in the month of Ramadan, why? Does it mean that he wants us to wait for Shawwal to eat it? No, for Ramadan. So it is very important to understand that the purpose really is not that you make you hungry. That's not never a purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose of the Quran says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The purpose is that people get taqwa. And taqwa has three parts. First one is fear of Allah. Second thing is that muraqabah, that you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is not to disobey him. You know, to obedience properly. That what Ramadan is. It trains people how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the purpose. Taqwa, to attain the taqwa. That why you can see, you know, people, even if they are alone, they don't eat. You know, if I'm alone in my kitchen, nobody sees. I'm not going to eat anything. Why? Because I see Allah. So believers, even if they're alone, nobody sees, still they don't eat. Why? Because of taqwa. So Ramadan makes them muttaqi, pious. They attend taqwa. So it is very important, really, to keep Allah in the mind, to fear Him, and to attend the taqwa, to obey Him, and to avoid disobedience. That is actually, you know, when Quran benefits you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Huda lil muttaqeen. The Quran has come to guide the people who have taqwa. To always keep in mind, really, that, you know, always, whether we are alone in the presence of the people, we always have Allah with us. To be, with that what we learn Ramadan. So obey Him and avoid the sin as much as possible, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happening is all over the Muslim world, I've seen really in this UK more than 30 years, when Ramadan comes, one discussion starts, and that is about moon sighting. People differ, they spend so much time, they waste their time, and they make, you know, starting of Ramadan in 2 days, you know, in some mosque this day, some mosque next day. Same thing may be happening this year as well. Sometime I've seen even actually, they have got 3 days for beginning of Ramadan, and 3 days for Eid. And sometime in UK, in the same mosque, same masjid, 2 Eid and 2 days for Ramadan. And sometime people said to me in the same houses, because some people believe in this opinion, some people, so in the same house, they have 2 different Eid. So think really, is it piety? Is it really fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has Ramadan come to make us to fear Allah and to achieve a goal, or Ramadan has come to divide us? What we have been seeing really is Ramadan has come to divide the believers. That's what actually happening is. To young generation, people grow in the family. What they learn is, oh, now we can't agree. They go to the mosque. Then when they go to the school, they want 1 day off for Eid. So some children will say this day, some say the other day. So even the schools are confused. So can't we think really? Is it this purpose of Ramadan to divide the believers? And when they divided, they never can muttaqi. Then they backbite, they fight, they argue. Even the mosque, they argument, shout, and everybody prefers their opinion over other people, and they make other people less important. That's what happened. And people write against each other. I've seen people writing, very insulting each other, making grouping. It's all taqwa. You know, first thing we should understand is why we fast. Then don't fast. You know, if you're fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get taqwa, closeness, then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should be scared. We should not backbite. We should not do anything which can divide the believers and create all the problems. Then Ramadan is not a barakah. You know, the Prophet ﷺ has called Ramadan as the barakah, you know, month of barakah. How can you barakah if the month of Ramadan actually comes to divide the believers and create so much divisions in the Muslim society? So let's make very clear that we have to respect the month of Ramadan and to have to believe really what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. He has made the month of Ramadan hudan, you know, guidance, mubarak and barakah for all the people. It should be barakah. When Ramadan comes, Muslims should improve themselves. Muslims should become nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims should be more united. You know, there should be less division. You know, that's what a barakah for Ramadan will be. So the first thing is that don't make Ramadan, you know, cause of division. Don't make Ramadan cause of difference and disunion. No, get the barakah of Ramadan, you know, united. Muslims eat together, they pray together, they fast together, then they celebrate Eid together, then they embrace each other, they meet each other. It should be like unity. People should, everybody, all the nations should say that when Muslims differ, but when Ramadan comes, they are united. But no, really, people see that when Ramadan comes, we are disunited. And another thing really is, what is moon? Crescent. Crescent is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is, in fasting, Ramadan is command of Allah. Command of Allah is more important than his creation. When if Allah commands something, that should be more respected. Moon should not be able to divide the believers. Believers should determine what is moon, what moon sighting, because they want to you know, obey their Lord. How can a moon divide you? And you are, you know, believer in Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam looked at the star and moon and sun, what he said? La uhibbul afilin. I don't love those who disappear, those who set. Now those who set, they divide us, they distract us from Allah. Yani Muslims should leave moon and sun and star to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now moon comes and distracts us from Allah. Moon become more important than Allah's command. You know, moon and sun are Allah's signs. They are not more important than Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innamal mu'minun ikhwatun, believers are brothers. So that should be more important than anything else. Any moon, any sun, anything, we divide the believer, we should turn away from that. We should know. We are slaves of Allah. We want unity. We want to obey him. He wants us to be one nation. We will remain one nation. Moon should never be able to divide the believers. So, you know, keep that in mind. That, you know, Ibrahim said, La uhibbul afilin. Now, let's understand what exactly moon is, what moon, why moon sighting is important, and why, you know, why we differ really, and why Islam is keen that we should not differ, and why in the past Muslims were not different really. In the past, they used to do same regardless of all the madhab in school. You know, the people in Kufa, you know, they never had Abu Hanifa as a Qadi. Abu Hanifa never was a Qadi. Abu Hanifa, rahmullah, has his own opinion, differ from the rulers of Kufa. But he never did Eid and Ramadan different from the people. His opinion is there, but he always made his opinion to surrender to the opinion of the Amir and the ruler, because he was wanted unity. So that I'll come to inshallah. But the first thing is, let's understand what Hilal is. There's a verse of the Quran, Yas'alunaka anil ahillati. They ask you about the Hilals. So ahillatun is a jam of Hilalun. Hilal means crescent. Many people think that they ask the question that why the sun, moon decreases and increases, why it disappears, what is behind that? They ask about Hilal, why, what is the nature of the crescent is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to waste their time, so he answered them something more beneficial. And he says, قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. Tell them that crescents are you know, timing for the people and timing for the Hajj. So let's correct really. Did people ask about the crescent, the nature of the crescent, when the sun, moon increase or decrease? This is really what they ask? No, if you read the Surah Al-Baqarah, where the question is coming, first thing is, these questions are not from unbelievers. The questions are from believers. Believers have no interest really to ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam why the moon increases or decreases. No, their only interest is about the ahkam, rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they're asking is, Yas'alunaka an ahkamil ahillah. They ask you the rulings about the crescent. Like in the Quran says, Saluna yastaftunaka an al-kalala. They ask you about the kalala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what they're asking. The Muslims had no interest to ask why the moon increases or decreases, because that is nothing to do with the Prophet. It is a scientific question. They were not interested. The question is that they're asking about the timing of that based on the crescent. They're asking about the Ashur al-Hurum, the month in which fighting is forbidden. That were they asking. So yes, alunaka ani lahilla, they ask. And then Allah said, "Hiya mawaqitu linnas." I have made the crescent as a timing for the people. So how it is timing? Month of generally in the past, according to all the nations, months were determined by the moon. Then some people made by the solar calendar and sun, because they want to fix the timing. But that actually made up by the people later on. Generally, in the past, every calendar was based on the moon. Even actually in English word, month, if you look, it is coming from moon, not coming from sun. So month actually is from moon. So it always used to be based on the moon. But somehow people made on the sun and calculation. So the Quran, when Quran mentions about the month, it means mentioning about the lunar calendar, the month which is based on the moon. The month that is based on the moon is always either 29 days or 30 days. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that Ash-shahru haakada, haakada, wa haakada, wa haakada. So 29 days. Then it's Ash-shahru haakada, wa haakada, wa haakada, 30 days. So the Prophet ﷺ said month will be 29 days or 30 days. It can't be less than 29 days, and it cannot be more than 30 days. So these are the 2 days. So generally, most time, actually, the month is 29 days. Some months will be 30 days. That is why he started with the 29 days. When the month of, based on moon starts, it is when the people see side the crescent. So that's the beginning. Then by the end of the month, happens 2 days or something more or less, when the moon disappears. Disappearing of the moon basically means that moon becomes completely between the earth and between the sun. So the part of the moon which is towards the earth, like we see, on that part there is no shining of any, no reflection of the sun. Sun does not reflect on any part of the moon which we face. So that's why we can't see it. So that happens at the end of the month, when the moon becomes completely between the earth and between the sun. And the sunlight does not appear on any part of the moon that we face. That is called in Arabic language, muhaq. Muhaq. So muhaq means the end of the month where the moon cannot be sighted. It disappears completely between the earth and between the sun. Moon is there, and no single part of moon is reflected by the sun. Sun does not get anywhere any light from moon does not get any light from the sun. So that is muhaq, that is time. When the moon basically moves from muhaq, and a small part of moon becomes reflected by the sunlight which we see, means when that part of the moon which is seen by the face by the people of the earth, that part of the moon, part of it get a reflection from the sun, that is what is called actually in the astronomy, that is called birth of the moon, that the moon has been born. So we call it Wilada, Maulid, Tawallud, Al-Qamar. Birth of the moon is as soon as the, there can be any part of the moon reflected by the sun. But it is so tiny, generally people on the earth cannot see that tiny moon, because the reflection comes from the sun on a very, very small part of the moon. and the people of the earth are unable to see it. Then reflection grows. So reflection can be this birth of the moon can happen in the daytime, can happen in the nighttime, it can happen anytime. If it happened during the daytime, there's no way anybody can see it. Even in the night, actually, because it's so tiny. When people are able to see the moon after it is born, when they're really more likely to see, we don't really have a very exact timing. But in some countries, people think that it is impossible to see the crescent until the moon is 16 hours old, or maybe like that. 16 hours old or something or less than that, of people are different in this matter, then you can see. The meaning basically is that, if the moon is born on the 28th morning, 28th of Shaban, for example, Shaban is coming, on the 28th morning it is born, then on the 29th evening, moon can be seen in many, many parts. Because then it becomes 16 hour old, 18 hour old, 20 hour old, it can be seen. So is it clear to everybody? So there is the birth of the moon. That is a different matter. Birth of the moon does not mean sighting of the moon. Sighting of the moon actually is something different. What we call hilal. Hilal basically is different. That is a possibility, sighting of the moon, of the crescent. That is actually ru'yatul hilal. You can say ru'yatul hilal. So sighting of the crescent is different from the birth of the moon. The months used to start in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before that or after that, by sighting the moon, not by the birth of the moon. So that we have to understand properly, that how the moon was sighted. It was sighted after being born. Nobody could sight crescent before the moon is born. And nobody actually even can sight when moon is very, very small, like 6 year old, 6 hour old, 7 hour old, 8 hour old, people cannot see it. Generally people see it if it is really 16 hour old. Generally the whole world will see, the crescent in same day. Sometime difference can be one day, sometime, not all the time. Generally it could be same day, but sometime can be one day. This is clearly what we have to understand. So we have to understand three different words. One is muhaq. Muhaq basically means that moon has completely disappeared. Moon is between the earth and between the sun, and no single part of the moon is reflected by the sun to the people of the earth. That is muhaq. Tawalludul qamr, birth of the moon, means when a tiny part of the moon is being reflected by the sun. It is so tiny, it cannot be seen. It needs a little reflection of the sun, grows and grows. So generally people think once it is 16 hour, moon is 16 hour old or maybe more than that, then when moon is could be sighted. And that we call ru'yatul hilal, sighting of the crescent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what he said really. He did not say until the moon is born. In this time people did not know even the birth of the moon anyway. What Arab people knew is actually the sighting. They knew muhaq. Muhaq means when the moon disappears. That's why you can see in Arabic language, even muhaq can be used for the birth of the moon. Arab people, when the moon is born, still to them is muhaq. Because until they are able to see the moon, they don't call it ru'ya. They only know two things. Muhaq or ru'yatul hilal. This thing is astronomical thing. It's from astronomy. Nothing to do with Arab people. Common people in any society, whether Arab, non-Arab society, they only know two things. What they know is muhaq, when they can't see the moon. And then second part is when they can see the moon. So basically, even the birth of the moon, that is a part of muhaq, part of this phase. This is not this. When they see, then they have got a new, that they call hilal. So hilal to them, actually crescent, happiness, istihlal, all those things, that what they could see. So the Prophet has said in many, many hadith, in Muwatta, in Bukhari, in Muslim, that hadith has come from many companions. The most famous hadith is from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. That hadith is in the most books of the hadith, you know, and the very, very many, many sanad. That hadith become widespread all over the world from so many chains of narration. If you want to see them, you can see all of that in Sahih Muslim, in the beginning of Kitab al-Sawm, that you can see. The Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that la tasumu hatta taraw al-hilala. Don't fast until you see the crescent. Means this part, this thing. He's not saying about the birth of the moon. The Prophet is saying that you are don't fast until you sight the crescent. That what people knew. People don't know this part. Birth of the moon is not known to the people. What is known to the people is muhaq, when they can't see the crescent, and they, what is known to them after that is ru'yatul hilal, the sighting of the crescent. That where the month starts. So the Prophet said, don't fast until you see the crescent. Wala tuftiru, and don't stop fasting until you see the crescent. Meaning is, don't start the month of Shawwal or Eid until you see the crescent. So between seeing the crescent of Ramadan and seeing the crescent of Shawwal, either it will be 29 days or 30 days. Is it clear? So the Prophet says, don't start the month until you see the crescent. And don't make Eid until you see crescent. Okay, but you can say sometime it is really cloudy on the 29th. Or it is, you know, so much dust sometime in the horizon. How we can see? So he said, very easy to find. Ghumma alaykum faqduru lahu. If it is, if you can't see the crescent because it is cloudy or it is dusty or something like that, faqduru lahu, then estimate. To what means estimate? It has come in another version of the same hadith by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ash-shahru tis'un wa 'ishruna laylatan. Month is 29 days. Fala tasumu hatta tarawhu. Don't fast until you see the crescent. So you see, always he says see. He does not say until the moon is born, until you see the crescent. Fa'in ghumma alaykum fa'akmilu al-iddata thalathin. If it becomes cloudy and on the 29th you cannot see the crescent, it could be there, it could be visible, but because the cloud you can't see. So what is the solution? Solution is complete 30 days. Very easy. So the Prophet said, if you see, then 20, you know, that's not 29 days. If you can't see, make complete 30 days. Sometimes it is actually very clear, still you cannot see. So, you know, month could be 29 days or 30 days. In another hadith, the Prophet has said that, inna ummatun ummiyatun. We are umma ummi. Ummi means we don't know reading and writing. As a nation, we are ummatun ummiya. Why the Prophet says we are ummatun ummiya? Because there were people of the book, Ahlul Kitab. So they know there are people of the book, Ahlul Kitab. And there are Arabs who are ummatun ummiya. Ahlul Kitab are the people who have got a book, a scripture from heaven. So they read it and they write. It does not mean everybody from Ahlul Kitab knows reading and writing. That is their title. That's how they are called, Ahlul Kitab. Arab people generally, they did not read and write because they did not have the book, you know. But some Arabs did write and read. It's not that everybody, actually, reading and writing are very much mentioned in Arab poetry before Islam. Even the Quran has mentioned, and there are so many, you know, metaphor used. So Arab people know reading and writing, but as a nation, they are ummiya. They don't read and they don't write. That is why the Prophet ﷺ has been called An-Nabiyul Ummi. It means a Nabi which has been raised among the people who don't know reading or writing. And he himself does not know reading or writing. Ummi does not mean jahil. Jahil is different, but jahil is ignorant. Ummi can be learned. Like, you know, like a blind people, a blind person could be a alim, scholar, learned person, but he does not know reading or writing. Somebody who does not know reading or writing still can be learned. So like there are many, many ulama, they are blind, like Qatada, Da'ama, Sadusi, you know, expert of the hadith, tafsir, fiqh, history, learned man, alim, scholar, mufti, but he's a ummi, he does not know. There are also many other people did not know reading and writing, but they still actually, learned people. To ummi does not mean somebody not, ummi is not a defect. Being ummi is not an aib, is not a defect. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being ummi does not mean it we are insulting him or hurting him. No, it is just acknowledging that he did not know reading or writing. But the alim is the best alim. He said, "Ana a'lamukum billah." Among all of you, I am the one who knows Allah the most. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best alim. Still, he did not know reading or writing. So reading and writing are means to the knowledge. They are not the knowledge themselves. They are very important for the knowledge. But people can attain the knowledge without them. Anyway, so Arab people did not mean that they are not learned. They are learned, many of them learned, but they did not have this quality of reading or writing. When you know reading or writing, to develop many skills, to like for example astronomy, to look in the star and all those things, they depend actually on the reading and writing and all those things. So the Prophet said, we are ummatun ummiya. You know, we don't know all. La naktubu wa la nahsubu. We don't write and we don't calculate. This is not our day. So what we do really, we just know the month. He said, the month asharu hakada, wahakada, wahakada. Then second time he said, asharu hakada, wahakada, wahakada. That he said. The Prophet also said, لا يتقدمن أحدكم رمضان بصوم يومين. Nobody should fast one day before Ramadan. To that, actually, there are many hadith where the Prophet does not allow people to fast before the month of Ramadan, even one day. Because otherwise, what will happen is people will think, oh, we don't know really it is beginning of Ramadan or not. Let's be cautious and start one day before. Then one day people add to the Ramadan. He does not want. He wants Allah the Fard to be complete. No day should be added and no day should be taken out. That why the day in which people are doubtful, fasting in that day is makruh. So meaning is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to enter into the month of Ramadan with knowledge. When he knows it is month, he will start. Not just on guessing. He never started the month on guess. Month always start with the proper knowledge, what Allah has given him. That, you know, going outside, sighting the crescent, if he sights, he starts. He does not sight, complete 30 days. Or if it's cloudy, complete 30 days. So the Prophet follow the knowledge. That's what Allah has done. For every ibadah and for every hukm of Allah, you know, it must be, we must follow the knowledge. There's no way that you follow the guess. Guessing, you know, estimating, that is not part of the reign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has commanded the believers to follow the proper knowledge. Similarly, or the hadith, we only follow the hadith which is knowledge, which no really more likely saying at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a hadith is da'if, weak, we don't follow because it's guessing. It could be hadith of the Prophet, it could not be. We have to follow the knowledge. It's very important to understand really. Allah did not command the believers to follow anything other than proper knowledge. And the proper knowledge has got its own tool and means when you can determine really what the knowledge is. That what is it? That what the jurist, you know, have been agreeing on this matter. How they used to determine really when the month starts. Or the jurist say the month starts like that. That when you on the 29th, people come and see the crescent. If they see, month has started. If they don't see, then they have to complete 30 days. That opinion of Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad Hanbal, all the jurists say, and all the Sahaba, and all the Tabin, everybody has been saying that you start the month with sighting the crescent. If you see it, you start the month. If you don't see, they complete 30 days. That's what they have been saying. But sometimes what happens when it is cloudy, many people cannot see. The Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimullah's opinion is, that if the sky is open, very clear, then it should be seeing of big number of the people, not one person. Because, you know, why only one person will see if it's open? So when sun is clear, when there's no cloud, no dust, then crescent must be seen by a big number of the people who cannot agree on a lie. It means people understand really, it's not lie. But if the sky is, you know, cloudy or dusty, Then according to Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, sighting of the month of Ramadan will be accepted by one person. If one person says, I've seen the crescent and he does not lie, he's an honest person in the society, or he can be a woman, man or woman, or anybody who has seen and reliable, trustworthy, then the month will start with the witness of one person. So in this case, really, in a Hanafi madhab, the witness of one person, whether man or woman, both are equal in the beginning of determining the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Though for the ending of the month of Ramadan, they don't accept one person's witness. They want two, because it is basically end of Ramadan. So you can't start fasting unless much more clear. So for that, they make two people to witness. Is it clear? So let me make again. So if 29th of Ramadan, what you need to do is people come in the big crowd and they start sighting the crescent. And if they see, that's fine. If they don't see, then complete 30 days. And if it's cloudy, then sighting of the crescent by one person can be enough. Now we are coming really, that how things have been practiced by the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on. Now that one question comes, is sighting of the crescent by people of a city is enough for other cities? So there are people who say that, you know, we must go for ikhtilaful matali'. They think that basically it could be possible that moon is sighted in one place but not in the other place. So every locality should have its own moon sighting. You know, there are some places when matla is same. You know, if moon happen in you know, United Arab Emirates, it must be also in Qatar. You know, these very, very close. But if it is very, very far away, then difference happen. So what ikhtilaf al-matale is another matter. But actually, the opinions of the people of the madahib, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali, has so much difference, really. People cannot know whether they are considered the matale or not. But Sheikh Tahir ibn Ashur, and many people think, really, that originally Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Hanbal, they did not consider ikhtilaf al-matale. Their opinion has been, if moon is sighted in one place and the new information reaches to other place, they must follow it. So for example, if in Saudi Arabia, moon has been sighted and it has been accepted by the jurist and fuqaha, then all the people all over the world, they must accept it. That is the opinion of Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, and Hanbal, equal to many people, that what they say. There's no ikhtilaf al-matale. Sighting of one place will be sighting of all the places. Is it clear to everybody? So I mentioned two opinions. One opinion is ikhtilaf al-matale is considered. And meaning is that if people sight the crescent in one locality, it is not necessary that crescent will be sighted in other locality. So people are not bound to follow that. So like for example in Pakistan, very often people sight the crescent in Peshawar. So if people of Peshawar sight, is it obligatory on the people of Karachi or Punjab to follow it? So according to this opinion, no, it is not obligatory, because it could be two different matala. Difference can happen in the world. So that one opinion. Second opinion, no, ikhtilaf al-matale is not considered. If people of any locality, they sight the moon and the fuqaha and mufti of that region, they accept it, then wherever the news goes, it becomes obligatory on the believers all over the world to accept it. It's all same thing. So the two opinions. A third opinion in Hanafi madhab, and that opinion is the one I follow really. A third opinion is in Hanafi madhab that if the moon is sighted somewhere, then all those cities and population which are west of that city, they must accept, not the east. Why? Because moon becomes more visible when it grows. So if, you know, when the sun was setting in Saudi Arabia and moon was 16 hours old, and they sighted it. So by the time the sun sets in England, it will be, because the difference of 3 hours, it will be 19 hours old. So people in England more likely will see. And by the time the sun sets in America, it will be more than 25 hours or maybe even more than that. So they more likely will see. So the third opinion is, if moon has been sighted in any place, then all the places which are west of that locality, they must follow it. But not those who are in the east. For example, if moon has been sighted in Saudi Arabia, then it is not obligatory on the people living in Pakistan, in India, Malaysia, Indonesia to follow it. Because by the time when the sun set in Indonesia, Malaysia, moon was very, very little. It was just maybe 1 hour old, 2 hour old, 3 hour old. So they could not see. By the time when the sun set in Saudi Arabia, it became 16 hour old. Is it clear? So now we have got three opinions. First opinion is, ikhtilaful matale is not considered. Ikhtilaful matale is considered. First one is, ikhtilaful matale is accepted. That, you know, people can have different matala. Second is not considered. Third one is more cautious opinion that I accept. That is that if moon has been sighted in any place, then all the places which are west of that locality, they must accept it. Because when the sun sets in that place, then moon will be even older, to more likely to be seen. So if sun sets in Saudi Arabia, when moon is 16 hour old, by the time sun sets in UK, then the moon will be 19 hour old, to more likely to be seen. So this is the third opinion that I'll support really, that anywhere when moon has been sighted and had been accepted by the jurist, by the fuqaha and mufti, then all the places which are west of that locality, they must accept it. And those places which are east of that locality, it is not obligatory on them to accept it. So this I discussed to you about the ikhtilaf al-matali. Now, next thing is coming is that can we rely on the moon sighting, about the moon sighting, and on the science, on the alimul falak, on the astronomy, on the observatory, because they can actually prepare observatory of the all the month for 10, 20, 30, 40 years in advance, because it is so well calculated, that they can see really that when, moon is more likely to be sighted in next month, that month, can we accept that or not? So this is a controversial issue from very past, really. In the past, it was not so maybe accurate, but the difference always happened. So there are a jurist in Islam who say, no, we are not going to accept, scientific observation of the moon. We are going to rely, on normal sighting of the moon. So there are jurists who don't accept, any scientific evidence, observatory or things like that. There have been opinions like that. And their main argument is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't fast until you see the crescent. And they say seeing means seeing with the eye. And that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do. So these people don't accept any scientific evidence. There are jurists who say, no, we can accept, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are ummatul ummiyya. We don't know reading and writing. But he made very clear, because we don't know reading and writing. So when the Muslims learn reading and writing and they become more learned, they know the scientific evidence, they understand the observatory, they understand the scientific calculation. So why not? Then we can follow that. So the Prophet did not say it is something divine, so that we can follow. So this is a second opinion, that we should follow the scientific evidence, that if science says that moon has been sighted or moon is visible, they can't sight really. They only can say to you visible, any visibility of the moon. Yani moon is able to be sighted. It is so that can we make that beginning of the month of Ramadan or beginning of the month of Shawwal or any month. So there are opinion, people say like that. This is second opinion. Third opinion is that we can accept the science of observatory in denying the moon sighting. So for example, if somebody make witness they have sighted the moon before the moon was born, to will reject. Science said moon is not even born, so how can see it? So that evidence will reject it really. But if people see the moon after moon is born, like when moon is 16 hour old, 18 hour old, then we accept. But when it's 16 hour old, it is cloudy and they don't see, then we complete 30 days. So these people say we accept science in rejecting the sighting of the people, to reject a claim. But we are not going to accept the moon for sight, for determining the beginning of month. We can use it only to reject. So if somebody claims to sight the crescent before even it is born, so we'll reject. We say, no, scientifically, it is impossible to see it anyway. So how can you see it? We can reject it. But if people claim to see the moon when scientifically it is possible, we accept. But if people don't see, even if scientifically possible, we don't accept, because you know we go for sighting. If we not don't sight, even science said it is possible, it is visible, we don't go for that. So we have got three opinions about the using the scientific method. The first one is we don't accept it completely. We follow the way of the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't accept it. Second opinion is that we accept completely. Whenever moon becomes visible, we start the month. That's how they prepare the calendars in many, many Arab countries by scientific observation in advance. They make it. The third one is we in the middle, that we accept scientific observation to reject a false claim. So if somebody claims that they have seen the moon even before it was born, when it was very little, we reject it. If people claim the sighting the moon when the moon is born, yeah, that's fine. And when the moon is actually visible, but the people cannot see, we don't accept unless people see it. So this is the third opinion. Now we are coming really that what is moon sighting really? Is moon sighting purely religious matter or it is a worldly matter? Unless we understand this thing properly, we cannot know really are we able to use science or not. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, you command. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you stand for the prayer, wash your face. فَغَسِلُوا وَجُوهَكُمْ. Is washing a religious matter or it is the Arabic dictionary or human dictionary? What washing means? Does Quran say what washing means? Does Quran say what face means? When Quran says wash your hands, does Quran say what hand means? No. What hand means, what face means, that is actually human matter. It is linguistic, language. Language determines, sometimes people's custom determine a meaning. When Quran says that women should put on khimar on their head, what khimar means, urf will decide, people's custom will decide. So sometimes you understand meaning by dictionary, sometimes you understand meaning by the custom, by the people's culture, and sometimes you accept a meaning which is legal meaning, like what salah means, what zakat means, that legal meaning. You can't know by society. That how we know. So when it is said really that khilal, crescent, what crescent means, what knowledge of crescent means, it is actually something religious or something secular. It is in which all the people share. It cannot be religious because people used to determine the month even before Islam. And there have been societies which are not Muslim. They also depend on the moon sighting. It can't be like that. So first thing we have to understand really, moon sighting itself is not a religious matter. It is a completely different matter. It is a human matter. It should be for those. What is religious is when a month starts, you start fasting. Fasting is a religious matter. But beginning of the month, that is human matter, it is linguistic matter, oral matter, customs matter, that how it is. And actually, you can see in many of these matters, we make a difference really. We don't follow commands of Islam. Like for example, the Prophet said that when you sell wheat for the wheat, barley for the barley, dates for the dates, salt for the salt, gold for gold, and silver for the silver. Six is mentioned. When you sell them, then what you do? Sell them equally. They should be equal. It is 1 kilo gold, to 1 kilo gold from other side. 1 kilo barley, to 1 kilo barley, but on both sides, same amount to equally. And second thing is, yadam biyadin, hand by hand. So the Prophet says that you do hand by hand and it should be equal. How they used to determine the equality? So Arab people, they used to know the equality between gold and gold, between silver and silver by the weight. They used to make by weight. Weight was wazn. And how they determine equality between the, you know, wheat and barley? By mikyal, by volume. They used to measure by the volume. 1 sa'a. So 1 sa'a wheat is equal to another 1 sa'a of wheat. 1 sa'a barley is equal to another 1 sa'a barley. 1 sa'a of dates is equal to another 1 sa'a of the dates. That how they used to measure. That was the custom of the people, culture of the people. Now in our time really, when you go to buy the dates, do you buy the dates in the volume or weight? Weight like gold. It has changed. So can you say now, you know, there's no riba, no interest? Still it's low. You know, one kilo dates for 1 kilo dates. You know, still same thing. So we have changed the measurement. So the Prophet after times a measurement is not no more effect, no more there. It's a different measurement. It's still fine. You know, equality was determined in his time by volume. Now it is determined by the weight. It's fine. Even actually the measurement by volume was not agreed upon. Sa' of Iraq used to be different from the Sa' of Medina. You know, the volume that in which people of Iraq used to measure, that was different from the one used in Medina. Each one followed their own Sa'. So they did not follow the Sa' of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because it is not a religious matter, it is a worldly matter. So that how people used to do. So in the worldly matter, you don't bring the religion. You have to find out how the people in the world, they determine something. That I want to say really, that sighting of the moon is not a religious matter, rather than it is a worldly matter, secular matter. I give another example. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, has made very clear that when the times of the fajr starts, the time of all the prayers, the fajr time starts, you know, when light appears, certain lights in the horizon, that is beginning of the fajr. And when the sun rises, that is end of the fajr. Then he said, when the sun declines, that is the beginning of zuhr. And when the shade of everything becomes twice or one length of any object, that is end of Zuhr and beginning of Asr. And when the sun sets, that is the beginning of Maghrib, ends of Asr. And when after that, when the Shafaq, the light, you know, disappears, that is the end of Maghrib and beginning of Isha. That's what he said. And the Prophet used to follow that, and his companions used to follow that. And when it used to be cloudy, you know, when there's cloud raining, they can't see really whether the sun has set or not. So how they know the sun is set? They used to guess and they used to delay further because it could be possible they did not guess properly. So they used to delay Maghrib prayer in the rain time, in the cloudy time, and that the Prophet has said really that when it's raining, delay it. So you become more certain. That how they used to do. Tell me really, what do you do now? Do you delay Maghrib now? It is cloudy, we delay the Maghrib because the Prophet said? No. Because you know really, we can determine the sunset very accurately. Now people prepare the calendar for the whole year. Every masjid, everybody has got that you can make calendar for. And everybody follows that time properly. Nobody goes really. You know, in the past, I remember when I was a child, in some masjid, they used to have this diagram, how to determine the Zuhr time. There was a diagram in the masjid that how they know Zuhr time because there was no watch, no time. And when I studied the fiqh in the madrasa when I was a child, that time, you know, watch was not in the villages. So they taught us how to know Zuhr time. So how to fix something, you know, in the masjid, how to follow the shadow. And they used to make very nice diagram. to when the shade becomes this part of the diagram, then it is Zohar time, and when it happens this part, then Asr time. They used to make it, and students used to learn. Now when I teach you people fiqh, do I teach those diagrams? No. Why? Because they are not religious. They are part of a knowledge how to determine Zohar time. Because Zohar time is a secular time, nothing to do with religion. If people can determine the Zohar time by another means, more accurately, we are not going to that diagram, not sacred. Now everybody goes for time. Everybody knows when sun sets, whether it's cloudy, raining, it doesn't matter. So I remember really that once I was in Jeddah, in Makkah, in the month of Ramadan. And the sun, or maybe I was in Medina really. I was in Medina when iftar time happened, and there was particular time. And then I came to Makkah, did Umrah. And for iftar, I have to come to Jeddah too. Somebody invited me. So I got a taxi, and I also had date. And when that, because I knew really I can't reach on the time, so when the time for the sunset came, according to Medina time, I forgot I'm in Jeddah and time is different. And Jeddah time is a few minutes, maybe 4 or 5 minutes or something like that, different from Medina or Makkah time, Medina time, few minutes later. I got off taxi and I realized, oh, it's time. So I started eating the date. All the people passing by me, they're looking at me very badly and kids, you know, thinking I'm a bad Muslim and all that. I didn't understand. Then I realized, really, maybe it's not time. So think really, all these people, because it was dark, you know, it was maybe cloudy, I could not see sun. Why these people are so certain that I'm wrong? Because of time, the watch. Nobody sees the sun. Because sun, I had there been sun, I would never have, you know, eaten. I was eating because it was dark. But everybody was, why certain? Because they follow the prime. Everybody follows the time. So that I'm trying to say really is that timing, you know, they are secular. Meaning of secular is they are part of human knowledge. Whether Islam is there or not, sun will set. Whether in the world there is a Muslim or not, sun will rise, sun will decline, sun will set. Whether there are Muslims in the world or not, moon will, you know, crescent will rise, month will start, month will, you know, end. It will happen. So in these matters, if there are things developed by non-Muslims or by anybody better than what we do, we follow. As we follow in the prayer. In the prayer, we take the timing of other people. It made, you know, and we follow that. Nobody has any problem. Every masjid in the world, they follow those time. Nobody actually make effort to follow the sunrise or decline of the sun. So people's custom can change. So if people can do for the prayer, which is more important, why they cannot do for the Ramadan, for the moon start, for even for the Hijjah, for the Hajj? They should be able. Any argument really against that is not very. I look in the argument. I never found any validity. There's a, because the hadith said, don't fast until you see. Yeah, it said until you see, but it meaning until you know. Because hadith also said about the prayer time, that you know until Zawar, until this, but you never see anything like that. You just get the knowledge of that. The meaning is the knowledge. And the Prophet said, we are ummatun ummiya. It does not mean that we remain ummi for all the time. You know, this being ummi, it can end. So this is important to understand really. So what will we do in this matter? My thinking in this matter is that wherever Muslims live really, first thing is they should understand how to unite their matters. Once I remember, I was invited to a conference in Birmingham, in about the moon sighting, long time ago, 20 years back or something like that. So that what actually I made it clear, that moon sighting is not a religious matter. It is really an organizational matter. How to organize. It does not need ulama. It does not need fuqaha. It does not need mufti. It needs really anybody who can understand what moon sighting means. A secular, anybody. Take a student. I said, appoint one person in this country, and he determines, everybody follows. You don't need so many fuqaha and mufti. For example, timetable, prayer timetable, we don't need a mufti. You know, anybody who understands really what prayer timetable means, even non-Muslim, a calculation. You know, a calculation can make very clear when time is over, and you rely on that. So similarly for this matter, we don't need to have difference of opinion and so many people. You need to follow that only one person. But the problem is because there are so many opinions. Like, you know, somebody said that, you know, we must cite the crescent. Somebody says, no, we can rely on the science, on the observation. Some people say we cannot be in the middle. So think really, with there are three opinions, how can unite? Unity can happen only when everybody sacrifices their opinion for the sake of one. That why in Islam we have got what? Imara, jama'a. That in all those matters which are matters of society, social matters, in that we must follow an imam, collective matters. So like for example, there jama prayer is with jama'a, with the congregation, five times prayer with the congregation. Fajr prayer, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the first prayer with congregation, jama'a. Muslims have got about prayer so much differences. In four rakah, they have got really 300 differences. In four rakah prayer, the difference among the fuqah is nearly 300 differences. So when you go for the prayer, you can't, and the people who pray behind the imam, some people could be Hanafi, some could be Maliki, some people could be Shafi'i, Hanbali, Ahlul Hadith, so many madhab. Somebody could be Shia, Ibadi. Are you going to mix four, six imams? Are you going to choose one imam? One imam. Those matters which are collective, we follow the imam. So when imam goes in the ruku, everybody goes in the ruku. When imam stands from the ruku, everybody stands from the ruku. When imam goes to sajda, everybody goes for sajda. When imam reads, everybody is quiet. When imam says salam, everybody says salam. Because we follow the imam. But within that, there are also a scope of differences. So for example, where to put your hand, place. Some people put a place on the chest, some people on the navel, some people leave. You know, about reading, about sitting, about raising the hand. Some people say raise your hand up to your earlobe, some people say up to shoulder. So much difference opinion, people follow. The meaning is, people can have their own different opinions as long as it does not come in clash with the collective opinion. With the imam, obey the imam. So people should have, the Islam respects. To all those matters where you need unity, you need to find a solution. That is to follow the imam, to follow the leader, to follow the people who are in charge of the matter. That's why Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amr minkum. You know, Muslims must follow the ulil amr, the people who are in charge of the matter. The best thing really should be that in every country, there should be one body, few people, they decide the beginning of month, and then all the believers, whether they have their own opinion, they should follow that opinion. Don't bring that I'm more right. Even if you're more right, in this matter, you have to follow. Like, you know, when you follow behind the imam, it could be that your opinion is more right, but you can't differ from the imam. If you differ from the imam, your prayer will be invalid. So same thing, moonsighting. Could be I have an opinion which is much better, but when I am with the rest of the believers, I follow the opinion of the imam leader and I make my opinion under him. I remember in Oxford, when I came, there was used to be two or three mosques. People used to come together and discuss to unify about the moonsighting. So in the beginning, they also used to invite me. So once there was a meeting in a Deobandi masjid and they're waiting for the Bareilvi people. So I said to them, the best thing really is to accept any opinion. You know, just follow one opinion rather than making that I'm more right. It is not a problem. Just follow one of them. I said to them, for example, I have my opinion. But I'm really very happy that whatever you people decide, I follow. I'm not going to follow my opinion. I want to follow you. I follow one and we agree. So they say, we are fine. But Bareilvi people who make problem, they don't want to unite with us. So I said to them, what happens if they don't accept what you say? Why don't you accept what they say? Still unity can happen. They say, no, how can we unite with the believers? How can we follow them with Bareilvis? So think really, if you can't agree with Bareilvis, Bareilvis cannot agree with you, then no way unity can be achieved. To understand properly, it is not that who is more right, really. It is who can unite people. It is a matter of the organization. It is not a matter of being right or wrong, really. Muslims must understand that in matter of the collective, you know, ibadah, you must come, you agree on an opinion which unites the believers. As I mentioned to you in the beginning, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmullah wa in Kufa, Qadi of Kufa at this time used to be Ibn Abi Layla, Muhammad Ibn Abdul Rahman Ibn Abi Layla, sometimes Sharik used to be Qadi, and sometime in Hafs Ibn Ghiyath was Qadi of Kufa. None of them followed Abu Hanifa's madhab. They were independent muftis al-faqih. Actually, they used to differ from Abu Hanifa. Their opinion used to be different from Abu Hanifa. But you never find Abu Hanifa makes his own Eid or makes his own Ramadan. He follows the Imam, the leader. Whenever Kufan, Qadi, and Amir determines, Abu Hanifa follows him. Abu Hanifa never has his own opinion. Though he has opinion, but never follows that. Because following opinion means to divide the believers. I give example. You know, in Hanafi madhab, if you're bleeding, blood comes from your body, then your prayer becomes invalid. Your wudu becomes invalid. You have to do wudu again. You bleed. If blood comes out, you have to do wudu again. In Maliki madhab, in madhab of Madinan people, bleeding does not break your wudu. You can carry on. Bleeding not effective. Abu Yusuf al-Qadi, the Chief Justice of Islam, who is Abu Hanifa's student, he went for the Hajj with Harun al-Rashid, the Khalifa, the Caliph. When Harun was in Medina, he led the prayer, one of the prayer, and then after that he did cupping, hijama, where his blood was taken out. So he knows if he asks Abu Yusuf al-Qadi, Abu Yusuf will say, your wudu is broken, you have to do wudu again. So what Harun did, he asked Imam Malik. Imam Malik said, no, you're fine, you can lead the prayer. You don't need to do wudu again. That is fine. So he accepted Imam Malik's opinion and led the prayer. Abu Yusuf al-Qadi, his opinion was different, but still he followed Abu Harun Rashid and prayed behind him. So people said to Abu Yusuf al-Qadi that why did you follow Harun when actually your opinion is different from him? So he said, do you think we leave the Imam for this small thing? It is the way of the bid'ah people. We follow the Imam. Following the Imam is more important than following your own opinion. In collective matters, you must follow the Imam. Another example, even before that, another example is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came from Mecca, from Medina to Mecca, he did Hajj. He did only one Hajj. So he was a traveler. In Mecca, he prayed Zuhr, Asr, and Isha, two rak'ah. Same when he was in Mina, he prayed Zuhr, Asr, and Isha, two rak'ah. Not four, two, because he's a traveler. When Abu Bakr Siddiq became Khalifa, he came and he did Hajj. He also used to pray two rak'ah in Mina. Zuhr, Asr, and Isha, two rak'ah. When Umar Khattab became Khalifa, he also did same thing. Two rak'ah in Zuhr, two rak'ah in Asr, two rak'ah in Isha. When Uthman became Khalifa, he also did same in the beginning. Two rak'ah in the Zuhr, two in Asr, two Isha. Then after a few years of his Khilafa, Uthman changed. And Uthman said, now I'm going to pray in Mina four rak'ah. Zuhr four rak'ah, Asr four rak'ah, and Isha four rak'ah. Some companions criticized him. Among the people who were more criticizing him very openly is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great Khalifa companion and great faqih and jurist. He criticized him very heavily. And when the time for the prayer came, then he prayed behind Uthman, like Uthman. So people said to him that you differ from him, still you pray behind him. He said, no, we can't leave the Imam. We must obey the Imam. We can have our opinion, but we can't differ from him. That what actually we need to learn, you know, from all this, that I'm advising you people. It is not really that, you know, which opinion is more valid. All these opinions existed in the beginning of Islam. You can follow the opinion of the people who say, we must side the crescent. That's fine. There are people who say, no, we can depend on the, you know, observatory. That's also fine. That also has good argument. You can follow the third opinion, which I made in the middle, that you can depend on the observatory to reject an opinion, but then you have to side the crescent. So three opinions are there. You can follow any of them. There's not a problem really. But what you cannot do really, it is fasting of the month of Ramadan, or Hajj, or Eid, they are not individual or personal matter. They are collective matter. They should be done behind the Imam and leader. What you need to do is, you know, in one whole country, must make an Imam and leader. They are, and everybody else forget. The Imam and the leader announce when is beginning for Ramadan, everybody follows him. Even if they don't agree, he follows him. And when is the Eid, follow him even if you don't agree. Because it is a matter of the organization. As we do in the prayer, we pray behind the Imam. That what should be done in every country. If you can't do in every country, at least in the city, make one body and I announce. You know, actually, to my opinion is, it should be done in the whole world, really. The whole world can have one same day beginning of Ramadan and the same day beginning of the Eid. It could be possible that sometime, you know, moon is sighted in Saudi Arabia, not sighted in Indonesia. Sometime could happen. So still, if you can follow, that's fine because the Prophet ﷺ has said, صَوْمُكُمْ يَوْمَ تَصُومُونَ وَفِطْرُكُمْ يَوْمَ تُفْطِرُونَ. Your fast is the day you fast and your Eid is the day you make Eid. That way, ulama say, if Imam decided, you know, Arafah should be 9th of Dhul Hijjah, if somehow the Imam leader make mistake and people had their Arafah on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah or 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the Hajj is valid and they don't need to repeat it. Because whatever Muslims accepted, Allah makes it valid. It becomes like that. So if Muslims all over the world, they agree on a date, on something, for example, if all Muslims decide that we are going to accept, you know, sighting of Saudi Arabia, wherever we are, that's not a problem. Then fine, the unity will happen all over the world. You know, people can make like that. So I personally, really, my opinion is that people of all over the Muslims, then Muslims don't need to waste their time. One sighting, enough for everybody, everywhere in the world. And you do that, it's just a symbol. And unity of the believer is much more important. It's really great sin that Muslims differ in this matter. Difference really in this matter much more problem. You know, unity of the believer, if it is a mistake, it's still fine. If there are two opinions in the fiqh, fuqaha have been saying that there are two opinions, but one opinion which is weaker, unite the believers, that is better than the strong opinion which divides the believer. Not only that, really, you know, there are sahih hadith. The Prophet ﷺ used to pray Fajr in Ghalas, in the dark. So many sahih hadith. Imam Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala leaves that and he said Fajr prayer should be delayed. And reason he said is because when you delay it, you make more people to pray, attend the prayer. Because young people, they get up in the morning very late. To make the Fajr delayed, to more people can see. Because for more people, we change this opinion. Similarly, for example, in Ramadan, Hanafi opinion is pray Fajr late. But in Ramadan, all the Hanafi mosque, they pray Fajr early. Because everybody wake up to have suhoor. So it makes more sense that, you know, suhoor ends, say Adhan of the Fajr, pray then sleep. Otherwise, if you delay the Fajr, then people have to, you know, wait for half an hour, 1 hour. So that's what everybody does. But fine, because you see the convenience of the people. It is very important really to always understand, you know, in the matter of the collective, though the matters which are collective matters, in those matters, it is not important which opinion is more sound. What matters is the opinion which can unite the believers. Unity of the believers is more important. In those matters which are personal, then you follow what is up to you. You can follow the most strict opinion, whatever you like really. But once you have to be with the people, then make sure that you follow what is, uniting the believers more and more. Then the summary of the matter really is to remind me and you that the month of Ramadan should not be wasted in gossiping, in fighting for unnecessary problem. And I've seen really for more than 32 years, it is a cycle. And I remember just 2 years back or 3 years back, before Ramadan, I'm part of one of Moonsight Fiqh Committee of America. So they asked me to join their online meeting. So I joined. And the meeting was about moonsighting. And same arguments. So when it came to me to talk, so I started with the poetry of Mu'allaqat, Amr al-Qais. Qifa nabke min dhikra habibi wa manzili besiqqil liwa baina dhaqooli fa haumali. I said to them, if you read Arabic poetry, all the poets, they start their poem, long poems, with only one thing. What they start? They pass by a place, so they remember their beloved, they used to see her there, and now they left and they moan and they cry and all those things, and then they start their poem. So every poet starts with the Zikra Habib, remembering the place of their beloved. That how. So I said to them that how you have been, we people have been. For 32 years, I have seen every time people come to determine the moon, they start with the same arguments. Exactly same, repeat the same thing again and again. Become tiring and boring. You know, there's nothing new really. You attend any moon sighting conference, meeting, seminar, all same old argument. You know, it is matter, nothing to do with the argument really. The matter is a matter of organization. And I said to the people, really, if you are not able to determine the month, make a lot. Meaning is that write on two papers. One paper say, you know, month is starting on this date on a Monday. One says Sunday. Make two paper and take it and hide it, you know, fold it. And then call a child and ask him to lift one of them. And he lifts any one of them. That's the beginning of Ramadan. That's just not simple matter. It will unite you. That is better than all discussion, because all this discussion never led anywhere. When you discuss more, differ more. This matter never can be understood and achieved by discussion. It is by compromise, by surrendering, making very clear, no, nothing to do with me really. Just make one person and he announced and we follow that simple matter. Why should I give an opinion for everything? That's why I'm very happy. I said to people of Oxford all the time, if you take my opinion, I'm happy whatever you decide. I don't follow my opinion. I follow your opinion. But you people should agree on something, but they never agree. In Oxford, you know, every year in the month of Ramadan and Eid, we have two different days. Always, two different days. Hardly I've seen it any time really when they have got one. Same thing in India. It used to happen. I remember in my village, many times it happened, we had two different Eid. Small village, two different Eid. People cannot learn really how to follow. If we cannot achieve the unity about Ramadan and fasting, tell me, in the political matter, how can we achieve unity? It's impossible. So moon sighting matter really to me is not Amr Dini. What I always say really, Laysat Ru'yatul Hilal Amran Diniyan. Sighting of the crescent is not a religious matter. Innama Ru'yatul Hilal Amrun Tanzimiyun. It is organizational. It is basically how to organize your matter. Nothing to do with religion. It is not this matter. You know, it is secular matter. Actually, you can appoint a non-Muslim to tell you when the month starts. That is much more safe than all, nothing to do with any mufti. You know, to determine the month of Ramadan, you don't need a mufti. You just need really somebody on whom the people can agree. A state takes in her hand that, you know, I will decide. The state, follow the state, follow anything. But if people give the month of Ramadan to muftis, and now in every city there are 10, 20 muftis, everybody has opinion. So how can we agree? Tell me. In the same house, there are two, three muftis. So then same house has two different, three different Eid. So simple matter really is, all the arguments are there. Everybody has got their argument, and we respect everybody. What I'm trying to say is that it is nothing to do with argument. You don't need to listen to everybody's argument. What you need to make very clear is, let's appoint one person or one body which can determine the beginning of Ramadan or beginning of Eid in our country. And we follow that. We are not going to present our argument. We are not going to write on this thing, anything. We don't want to convince everybody. We just want to follow this. If you do that, it more likely you achieve. And okay, I want to say more than that. To me, really, if Muslims all over the world, they can agree on a country. Like, for example, Makkah al-Mukarramah is, you know, a qibla of everybody. And we follow Saudi Arabian Hajj anyway. When people go for the Hajj, they follow Saudi calendar. Nobody follows their own calendar. If we follow Saudi Arab already in the Hajj, and Hajj is one of the important things depending on the moon, why can't we depend on them on the Ramadan? And I'm not saying that a Saudi opinion is the right one. No, I never actually agree with Saudi moon sighting. I myself have a different opinion. I'm not in favor of Saudi moon sighting. For the sake of unity, I'm saying that if Muslims all over the world, they agree on the moon sighting of Saudi Arabia in Ramadan, as they agree on the moon sighting of Saudi Arabia for the Hajj, there's no problem. All over the world, Muslims don't need to sight their own crescent. Just wait for the moon news. When the news comes from Saudi Arabia, follow it. For Ramadan, for Eid, and for the Hajj. So, such an important unity. And the Prophet said, your fasting is the day you fast, and your Eid is the day you make Eid. If people can do, if you want. This is one solution. Second solution could be, okay, people can say, those countries which are east of Saudi Arabia, when Saudi Arabia saw the moon, in Indonesia, when the sun was setting, the age of the moon was very little. They could not saw it. So it is a good, valid point. But for the sake of unity, we can actually pass this. But anyway, if you want to keep that, then at least what I'll say really is, all the countries which lie west of Saudi Arabia, they should follow Saudi Arabia. And those which are in the east, they should agree on something else. More likely, they will do one on same day, because generally it is same day, or it could be two different days. That's all, not more than two. At the moment, it happens 3 days a difference in the world. So in the first, my choice is the whole world agrees on one moon sighting, and that may be Makkah al-Mukarrama. As we agree on Saudi Arabia in Hajj, let's agree in Ramadan Eid as well. This first. Second one is, at least the people who are in the west of Saudi Arabia, like UK, Europe, America, they rely on Saudi Arabia, and those in the east, they can have their own, one day later, whatever they like. That can be a solution.
We don't have, one leader for the whole Ummah anymore. So we have imams and we have leaders, and most of the leaders are not learned. Should we just follow our own masjid and the imam of the masjid? And then the second question is the fasting of Arafah, because it's the ninth of the Hajj. And of course, the night falls differently in the US versus the Saudi and Saudi. And from what you're saying, we can follow Saudi for Arafah and Hajj, but also for Ramadan. But most of the time here in the US, we follow our own calendar for Ramadan. But then for Arafah, there's always a dispute that the night falls in the US on a different day, where the night of Dhul Hijj will fall on a different day in Saudi. So, but then people say the Arafah is only in Saudi. There is no Arafah here. So we should follow Saudi. We can't follow the ninth here. It could be eighth in the US. So wanted to hear your thoughts.
As I mentioned earlier, moon sighting is not a personal matter. It is actually a collective thing. Leaders of the... So wherever you live, whatever they decide. If they decide to follow Saudi Arabia, that is fine. If they don't decide, then you have to, you can't differ from your local mosque where you pray. So in Ramadan it starts, maybe your opinion is to follow Saudi Arabia, but they choose differently. Don't differ from the mosque where you pray, because that your people are going to celebrate with them, your family is going to be with them. So this my advice is for all the leaders. They should actually come together, one opinion. But if they don't unite, they have their own opinion. So at least we common people follow the mosque that we pray. So in this matter, I'll say, whenever your mosque announces beginning of Ramadan, follow that. Similarly, for the Dhul Hijjah, whenever they announce Dhul Hijjah, you follow your local mosque, because you're going to do Eid with them. You can't follow the day of Arafah of Saudi Arabia, because you are not going for Hajj. If you're going for Hajj, you are there. That's a different matter. But if you are at your place, then your ninth Dhul Hijjah will be the day before your Eid. That your Eid, not Saudi Arabia Eid. So whatever your people, because you can't have same day anyway, because sunset differently, sunrise differently. So you should follow your own. So for example, when I fast on the 9th, I always fast 9th of the country where I live, meaning it one day before Dhul Hijjah. So in your country, when your masjid, when they do Dhul Hijjah, just fast one day before that. Maybe Saudi Arabia, that Eid, we don't matter really. So anyway, my advice is the people are the most, they should follow Saudi Arabia. But if they're not doing that, for the sake of unity, they want to have their own opinion, then common people, they can't differ from their own local mosque. You have to follow that. Is it clear? So for the beginning of Ramadan, for the Eid, Dhul Hijjah, Arafah, follow your local mosque.
Following up on something that you had mentioned, in non-Muslim countries, that now there's a trend for kids in school, not in regular schools, to try and get Eid recognized as a holiday. I actually have a different example person that my father used to volunteer at a prison to teach Islam to the Muslim inmates. And, you know, he had to give them the dates ahead of time because, you know, he couldn't just, like, for Ramadan or especially for Eid, he couldn't just say one day before. He had to give them the full schedule ahead of time. So in cases like this, especially like in non-Muslim countries, I mean, if I understand correctly, it's more advisable to follow the calendar calculation method so that, you know, you can, with non-Muslim, I guess, entities, you can let them know that, okay, you know, these are the dates ahead of time, because this, even like the school districts, they, here in the U.S. at least, they plan their calendars out like multiple years in advance.
Yeah, no, you're actually, that's why I really suggest that, you know, should be, if you follow the calendar, you know, in advance, it will be so easy for the schools, for everywhere, for holidays. But the problem is not that me and you decide. Problem is really if you give to the school the date according to calendar, but your local mosque and imam, they don't agree with that. So children have to pray Eid in the masjid. So you make one day Eid in the school, but the school, the actual Eid in the masjid is something different. So the problem really is not that what is the best way to determine the month. We can find any best. The problem to convince local community that how to agree on the right opinion. So that is the problem really is. As I mentioned, to me really there's no harm to follow, you know, in a scientific calculation, or to do your own moon cycle. Any opinion to me actually has got, you know, its proper argument. But the moon cycle is not really that problem. Problem is the organization. How to make same day for everybody? That what people need to learn really. You know, like in UK, UK is a small country. For whole UK, easily you can accept one day. You know, all the mosques can agree, okay, there is a, you know, in London, there is a, you know, this mosque, which is, you know, we accept, then everybody accept the same mosque. There's no harm in that. They make one mosque as your main mosque and everybody follows that. Or maybe what happens is at 3, 4, 5, you know, main mosque, they make a body and they announce every year, you know, either by, you know, ijma, consensus, or by majority. They vote and they decide, then everybody follows them. So for whole UK, they can make their own moon sighting committee for the whole UK, 10 people, 20 people, whatever. And this committee meets one day before Ramadan. And they decide either by, you know, agreeing on something or by a majority. And then everybody follows. So there are so many ways to solve. You know, like, this country is a democratic country. So you can see in the parliament, they disagree. But they have got a way how to, you know, come on unity. Then they unite on one opinion. So why cannot we Muslim do? When actually our religion is unity. It is jama'ah, it is unity, amara, so much actually encouraged by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the problem really is until we become very clear that we know how to organize our matter, nobody can solve. I've seen 33 years now in this country, you know, it is not solved. Because it's not the argument. You cannot solve this problem by argument. You only can solve the argument when everybody accept to sacrifice their opinion for the sake of humanity. Everybody said, you know, bring a formula, we'll follow it. So I can give a formula. I can say, okay, take one masjid and everybody follows that. It's so easy. Or I can make really follow Saudi Arabia or follow Morocco, anything. You know, you people can make anything, but you can't make two opinions at the same time. Some people follow Saudi Arabia, some people follow Morocco. It is again same problem. So unity can be achieved if we really want to unite. And it is so much ugly really in the schools everywhere. That, you know, my children used to go and everybody, that teachers ask. So half of children say, is it tomorrow? And half children say, is it the day after tomorrow? It looks very ugly for us. Why can't we agree? So this actually, that what we need to encourage everybody. That leave the argument, let's agree on a way that which can unite us more. You know, and unity on a weak opinion is better than, you know, disagreement, always.
Sheikh, I just wanted to ask your advice with regards to many people now, Sheikh, especially in cities like Bradford and others, we have multiple local mosques. Mm. So many people don't have one mosque, which is their determined masjid. Mm. And secondly, we now have families who are dividing as well. So in a situation like that, would you say that people can go with who they think is the right masjid and part of their family? Or would you say they should look at who's the majority of their family going with for Eid?
Okay, that's a very good question. Really, that I remember once we in Oxford, we agreed on a date. So Bengali community said to us, we can't do that. I said, why? He said, because we celebrate Eid with other Bengali people in London and they have different date. If you have a date different from London, we can't do with you because we want the same day. That's a very good point, really, that people have got community, people have got relatives, they want to visit each other. So this is another concern, really. So in your case, you can't do much. But one thing I can say, really, maybe best thing is to make a meeting among your own family. I said to your family, let's make one leader and we agree which day to eat and then pray in the mosque that they do that day. So at least family can do same day. You know, this is one solution. You can make all your family members, your relatives get together and let's make Eid one day and then we choose the mosque that does in that day. That could be one solution. But still really it's not going to solve because all your relatives, they have their own relatives. They have their own relatives. It's things actually it's never going to solve. Solution only can come if the whole Bradford, not only whole Bradford, because Bradford has also relatives in Bartley, in somewhere else. So you can't make really, you know, the whole country should be united. So anyway, whatever Sheikh Andrew, you see good for your family, do that. Because any solution I bring, it will be a problem. The only solution can work is the unity of the whole country. If the whole country, it is a small country, tiny country, just unite. But people don't want to accept that. The people writing so much, differing, it is not a matter of the argument. I said so many times really, nothing to do with the argument. Every opinion has got argument. It is a matter of the unity. We learn how to organize our matters. So unfortunately, I don't think I have any solution in current you know, way things are going. We can't solve.
Sheikh, there is a group in the UK trying to unite everyone on UK moon sighting. Should we not try to encourage everyone towards this for the sake of unity, as we have many mosques following Saudi, some following Morocco, some following Pakistan? The community is already very divided. Unfortunately, we don't have the one mufti for UK or even London. So in trying to be the change that we want to see, could we stick to UK moon sighting group and begin Ramadan with them, even if it means not celebrating with our immediate community? Secondly, if we know, for example, that Saudi couldn't have seen the moon when they said they had, but followed them anyway, then how does this affect us trying to seek Laylatul Qadr, as the last 10 days would be different?
You know, thing really, if you make a new committee or new people in UK moon sighting, there's no harm that. But before they come with anything, they should make everybody agree on them. So these people, instead of announcing anything, what they need to do is approach to all the mosques and take members from every mosque, every committee, and then the whole UK agree. Otherwise, it will be a new division. So there are already people divided. Some people follow Saudi Arabia, some people follow Morocco, and now you have new committee. So this will be new. Then nothing, no unity will come. So this thing really is a very, very bad manner. The second part of the question I want to answer very clearly. When you follow a committee or any moon sighting, then don't worry whether it's right or wrong. Whatever they decide, that is the right. So for example, if people decide to follow Saudi Arabia, maybe Saudi Arabia has done mistake. Still, that mistake is fine. You know, they will accept it and you celebrate your Laylatul Qadr. I can't do that. But anyway, people who think Laylatul Qadr is one single night, they are not right really. It could be any night among the last 10 nights. But anyway, people think it is 27th. So you can follow based on that opinion. If you accept an opinion, then that opinion, even if it is wrong, it becomes right. Once the people agree on something, because you know that how Allah has made us, you have to follow an opinion. So if people accept Saudi Arabia, even if they're wrong, it's still right. Because, you know, people can do mistake. And the Prophet said, last time a mistake happened, later on a mistake happened. And Fuqaha say, if by mistake people do Arafah on the 8th or 10th, it's still fine. Hajj is accepted. They don't need to do Hajj next year. So if Saudi Arabia is moon sighting the one day before everybody, it's still fine if people accept. I will encourage people, you know, accept opinion which can make everybody to be united. If not, then at least secondly, the opinion which can bring more people, majority of the people together. Any opinion which can make otherwise, third, last thing is follow your own masjid. That's all.
can we take from the hadith, sumu li ru'yatihi, can we take ru'ya to mean ilm in this case?
Yeah, that one meaning, because ru'ya is a mean. In knowledge, anyway, because the Prophet said, if it's cloudy, then complete 30 days. 30th on the 30th also could be cloudy. Do you see? Don't see. But why you think the month has ended? Because the knowledge. You know really, month never can be more than 30 days. So the reason we say moon sighting, because it is means to knowledge. The knowledge is the end. Because on the 30th, everybody says now the month has entered. Not because they have seen the moon. Because they know. So what is end is actually the knowledge. If any means which make you to know the month, that's fine. So like I said to you, that you know, if people are there, a committee they have made somewhere in Morocco or Saudi Arabia, you follow them. That's knowledge. You follow them and they decide, they will be accountable in the day of judgment, whether they do properly or not. If they do properly and they do mistake, still they get reward.
What is your opinion on observing the new moon through optical aids, such as telescopes or binoculars?
Yeah, that's fine, really. People have always been doing this. You know, any means is fine. What I'm trying to say is really what unites the believers. If something can unite the believer, that is fine. The unity of the believers. But if you see with the telescope and everybody and other people don't like you, so what's the purpose? Just you make your own Eid, your own Ramadan. You know, you have to... You have to make people to, like, you know, this UK moon sighting group, they only are important if they make everybody to follow them, if they contact all the mosques. If they just make a new group, useless. Nothing will happen, really. It's just a new division in the society.
Has there ever been a scientific discrepancy with sighting the new moon?
How can be that? Because this scientific calculations are so accurate. How can there be like something different? They're always the same. I don't think there can be. What they say is, they can't say you sight the moon. They say visibility. It is possible to see the moon. See the crescent. That's what they can say. They will say, the you know, moon was born on that time exactly, and it will be in this country on that day, that night. So, you know, such age. They can decide, determine the age of the moon. But nobody knows really seeing the moon.
Sheikh, how can we unite in India? Because in India, we have a lot of groups. Some said the moon doesn't sight, and others said that they did sight it. How will we manage? Presumably, they're also adding that India is quite a big country as well.
No, they can agree. They want to just make one moon sighting in Delhi or something, a whole committee. But in every in India, in every city, there is moon sighting. And Ramadan is coming, we'll see from every city of India, you'll get a moon committee deciding. In Allahabad, there's a moon committee. There is a, in Lucknow, there's a moon committee. In every city there, do we need really? No. It's just we need one moon committee for the whole country. And they decide. But people don't want to follow really. They want to, their own madrasa is more important. So my madrasa announced, my school announced, Bareilly people announced, these people announced. Everybody has got their own group. In this matter of the collective thing, they should unite on one thing. So I'll say really, if Indians, Muslims now, for example, will follow Delhi Jami Masjid, for example, the mosque of Delhi, that's fine. Then everybody can agree. Or we can follow Farangi Mahal, or we follow Deoband, or we follow Bareilly, one group, and then everybody follows that. But it is not going to happen really. In every single city in India, they've got their own moon sighting committee.
What is the ruling on when the night begins? Some follow the rule after the Adhan or at the point of when the Adhan is called, which causes people to differ on when to start and break the fast.
No, night is very clear, really. As soon as the sun sets, that's night, whether Adhan is set or not, nothing to do with Adhan. As soon as the sun sets, you know, and sunset is very clearly known, then you just do start. That's all. Whether people say Adhan, don't say Adhan, doesn't matter.